Discipleship is a process. But then Jesus has that second line, and for the first time in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, Jesus adds a part B to his statement. He ain't done this yet. It's like it doesn't get complete without everyone's been like, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And here's where I want to just land this morning with the time we have left. Because I really had this great sermon planned out where I talked about God's forgiveness and how well we should all feel. But then I got to thinking, here's what I've never heard. I have never heard when Alabama loses a game, and I've been friends with Jim Evans a long time, I have never heard, Jim Evans is the guy who keeps saying Roll Tide, in case y'all didn't know who Jim Evans was, along with everybody, yeah, that guy. So I've watched that. When Alabama loses, I have never, in all the years I have known this man, I have never heard Jim say, we got outcoached. I never heard him say that. I don't think he actually thinks they got outcoached. I don't think anybody outcoaches this guy. Yeah, people agree. I don't think anybody outcoaches Nick Saban. They might, but I would still bet on him. If he wanted to coach for my team, pay him $10 million. Whatever we got to do, get the guy. We'll win. I don't think we got outcoached. What I have heard Jim say is, we didn't play. We didn't play. We didn't rise to the potential. It wasn't the coach's fault. I was going to have this great sermon about God, but then I got to thinking, how often has God been outcoached? I don't think ever. So if something's wrong with my score, is it that I got outcoached? Or was it that I didn't play? Is it that I didn't show up today? I think Jesus, when he says, forgive us of our sins, he wants you not to look at your scoreboard, but he wants you to understand that you have to show up and play. You know, Saban can be the best coach in the world, but if he don't have players who commit to playing, they ain't winning. He needs the players to play. Church, Jesus is not looking for the perfect play this morning. He's looking for players. He's looking for people who actually want to play. So let me kind of give you these three big points, and I had them on the slideshow, but here they are. What you did will not define who you are. And I think we can all say amen to that. What I did a long time ago will not define who I am. But who you are will define what you do. What you did will not define who you are, but who you are will define what you do. That's both those lines that Jesus said. Forgive us of our debts as we have forgiven. Y'all notice it's in the past tense. Not as I will, Dick does something against me and Lord forgive me of my debts, as I might forgive Dick tomorrow. I might. I don't know, because he might have a tendency to really upset me. Jesus says, no. Forgive us of our debts as what? As we have already forgiven. So in other words, if you're going to ask for forgiveness, you need to make sure that you've been in a practice of forgiving people. Let me ask you this. What if you haven't been in a practice of forgiving people? Asking for forgiveness is a colossal waste of time, because you ain't going to get it. I know that's not the kind of sermon we all thought it was going to be. And I know that's not the sermon we usually hear. But let me show you something. If you got your Bibles this morning, we finally made it to the Bible. Matthew chapter 7. I want to look in verse 17, because I think all surrounding this prayer and this idea of forgiveness, Jesus is dropping these crumbs about what he's trying to show us. In Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 17, we see this point play out. It's not what you did, it's who you are. Matthew 7, look at verse 17. He says, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Don't we all know this? I mean, don't we all does anybody else in here have a temptation to say, well, duh? So what's he getting at? Look at verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. And this all seems like we already know this, but in verse 21, Jesus turns it on its head. Not everyone who saith to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. We all know that line, right? We've heard that a billion times. Verse 22 is the one we never read. Pay attention. many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Jesus says, I tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you what? Evildoers. Y'all notice those people at the end in that last verse? What do they call him? They call him Lord. They're just like us. They went to church. They call him Lord. They said the right thing. They did the right thing. They acted the right way. They went to church just like you and I. They sang just like you and I. They look like they look like a duck. They walk like a duck. They quack like a duck. Right? I mean, look at that. Look at what they did. They did and said and believed right. And Jesus says, I have no idea who you are. We're in trouble, church. We are in trouble. If we think it's what we say or what we believe or what we do that's going to get us to heaven, we're in big trouble. Jesus says it's not the fruit, it's the tree. Don't y'all know a lot of bad people who say the right thing? Don't y'all know a lot of rotten people who look the right way? But inside, they're rotten to the core. Jesus says it's not what you do, it's who you are. It's not the play you make, it's the player. And then he gets a little deeper. Second, don't expect anything from God that you are not willing to do. Don't expect it. If you still got it open to Matthew, go backwards to Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Jesus says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their sins, then your Father will not forgive you of your sins. Don't expect God to do what you have not been doing. And I know as a preacher, I'm supposed to extend the invitation. Anybody needs forgiveness, come on down. But you need to kind of take a look at your life. And if you're not a forgiving person, what are you asking for? If you have no intentions on forgiving, this is a waste of time for you. It doesn't mean that you earn it. I don't want us to think, because when you read that verse, doesn't it look like that? You know, God's not going to forgive unless you forgive. So I got to put in my, kind of like a quid pro quo. I gotta forgive Dale Hyder, and then if I forgive Dale Hyder, then I'll get my forgiveness. But that's actually backwards. God forgives first. And what we do is that we forgive in response. So here's the third. Our forgiveness of others is not a condition of God's grace. It's a consequence of God's grace. Because God forgives, we forgive back. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. And I know I usually don't read a whole little passage, like a whole long passage, but I want to read it because I got to show you something. Matthew chapter 18. This is a parable we all know. But what I think's happened is that we haven't seen how it repeats. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Here's what I want you to notice. This is the story of the, what does my Bible have? The unmerciful servant, right? The unforgiving servant. What I want you to notice is the behavior of the first servant is the same as the behavior of the second servant. And what the master does is the same thing that he expects the servant to do. So Matthew 18, we're going to start in verse 21. Just be patient. If you don't have a Bible, get a phone and pull it up. Matthew 18, verse 21. Here we go. Let's just start in verse 23. Therefore, Matthew 18, verse 23. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wants to settle accounts with his servants. And as he begins the settlement, the man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold is brought to him. Now, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he have be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Can I just say this? If any of you give a loan of 10,000 bags of gold to somebody that you know doesn't have good credit, aren't you at fault? I mean, isn't that the problem in our country? I mean, aren't the banks at fault? I mean, can't we just blame the banks here? Don't you think Jesus is trying to push that too? Do you see how foolish it is for this master to give so much at the beginning? Who's the master in this story? God. And we think, wow, that was foolish. I wonder if Jesus is thinking, right? Even though he knew you couldn't afford it, look how much he gave. Let's keep reading. Verse 26, at this the servant fell on his knees before him. Here we go. He fell on his knees. Remember that. He said, be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. And the servant's master, my Bible has, took pity. Does anybody have compassion? Was compassionate. Yeah, I love that. He was compassionate, and he canceled the debt, and he let him go. Wow. Not only was the bank foolish for giving that kind of loan, the bank said, you know what? We'll just cancel the loan. We'll just buy out the loan. Wow. Not only were they foolish enough to give us all the money, they were foolish enough to cancel the debt. I like this bank. But do I really like this bank? Shouldn't what the bank did have an effect on me? Verse 28. When that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him, he choked him. He said, pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And the fellow servant fell to his knees and he what? Begged him. Here we go again. He begged him, be patient with me, he says. I will pay it back. It's the same exact thing this guy said to his master. He says the exact same thing, but does he get the same result? Verse 30. He refused. Instead, he went off. He had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. And in verse 31, church, if you think people don't know who you are, please think again. We all know who you are. You can't hide. When the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged. They went out and they told their master everything that had happened. And then the master called the servant in and he said, you wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because why? Because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had compassion on your fellow servant? Here's the key phrase, just as I had on you. God's forgiveness should motivate you to forgive. Verse 35, this is how the Heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother and your sister from your heart. Church, it is God who forgives first, and we are called to respond. Forgiveness is a lifestyle. Let me borrow that from that coach I won't name anymore. It's a process. Forgiveness is a process. I don't know if y'all have ever noticed this, but this story starts in verse 21. Remember how Peter starts this? He says, Lord, Peter comes to him, Lord, how many times do I got to forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? And what's Peter's magic number? 7. You know what my magic number would have been? 1. Yeah. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Okay? How many times do I got to forgive my brother? I'm thinking, okay, you know what? Let me take that back. I'll probably say 3. Because 3's a lot. I mean, let's be honest. 3's a lot. I think Peter's stretching. 3's a lot. But if I go for 7, I'm like double lot. Right? Like, I'm really shooting here. But I don't know if you've ever noticed this. This phrase actually has another beginning point. In verse 21, Peter says, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? But in verse 15, this is where the story actually starts. Jesus says, if your brother or sister sins against you, go and show him or her their fault just between the two of you. This is where the story starts. Peter asks in response to what Jesus says. And if you ever read verses 15 through 20, what you find out is that forgiveness is a long, long, long process. Can I just kind of show y'all, if you just give me a second here, let me show you what I mean here. I usually pick on people in here, but I know y'all get tired of that, so we're just going to imagine there's an imaginary member. His name is Ted, okay? I can't think of anybody in here whose name is Ted. If your name is Ted, then it's you, okay? It's you by proxy, all right? Sorry. Ted, all right? Ted's been a member here for 10 years. I done found out Ted's been saying some things about me and my wife. Yeah. Gasp. I found out. One of you told me. He's been running his mouth. I can say that kind of language because Ted's not real. Ted's been running his mouth for over a month. I've heard about it. Some of you have heard about it. He said very, very negative things about me. Very, very inappropriate things about my wife. I'm making all this up, church. If you walked in late, that's your fault, okay? So who's Ted? You know, we getting him. But he said some very negative things, and I found out about it. So I text Ted. I said, Ted, heard you've been saying some things. I'd like to meet with you. Now, y'all know how people text. They don't text back because Ted's a millennial. So he never checks his phone. First, I sent him an email. We all know millennials really don't check their emails because they got like 4,000 emails on their phones. The email button just don't work on their phones. Y'all all with me so far? Okay, I sent Ted an email a couple weeks, been by. Ted hadn't responded. I sent Ted a text. Ted doesn't respond. Although it says it was read, he didn't respond. I knew he read it. I sent Ted another text. I sent Ted another text. Finally called Ted's mama. Because Jesus says in verses 15 through 20, if you hear somebody, a brother has an issue, you need to go to him and you need to confront him about it. Jesus says to do that. Now, what I could do is start getting up here talking about Ted. Y'all wouldn't believe what Ted said. Jesus said, don't do that. You go to Ted, you try to work it out. Okay, we're going to go to Ted. We're going to work it out. Ted finally texts me back. Got your text. Love to meet. I said, let's meet for lunch. We got to work us. It takes us 2 weeks to meet for lunch. We finally work it out. I meet with Ted. I talk with Ted. We talk it over. At the end of the conversation, he says, Adam, look, I just don't like you, man. And I know what I said, but I'm not going to take it back because I don't like your wife either. I don't like your family. I don't like this church. And if I said it, so what? And we left. Jesus says, if that happens, then what do you do? You got to go get a friend. So I call Jim. I say, Jim, man, Ted's been saying these things. Jim said, that's not right. I said, I know. So I text Ted. Ted took a couple weeks to get back to me. Ted says, I'd love to meet with you and Jim for lunch. So me and Jim worked it out. Now me and Jim's schedule's got to work it out. Jim's got a kind of a weird job. I got kind of a weird job. So it takes us 2 more weeks to finally meet for lunch. We all three meet for lunch. We all three get together. We talk. At the end of the conversation, Ted says, I don't like either one of y'all. Because he's a UT fan. I'm a Notre Dame fan. Now he really hates Jim. Because he's an Alabama fan. And the first thing Jim said when he walked in was roll tide. Didn't help to bring Jim. Didn't help. Ted leaves. Are we done in Jesus' book? Oh, no. Jesus says, did that not work? Then who do you take? The whole church. Do y'all know how long it took us to meet with Ted just with Jim? So now we got to meet with the church. But I can't just go to y'all and say, let's meet. I got to go to the elders because the elders are over the church. Elders only meet twice a month. And we just had an elders meeting. I got to wait 2 more weeks to get on the docket to meet to present my case. So I tell the elders meet about it, the elders agree with me. What is it now, Thanksgiving? I mean, seriously, it's Thanksgiving, we all finally meet, so now it's me and Roy, and, well, we left Jim because he was an Alabama fan, he was going to set him off, so we didn't take Jim this time, we just took Roy, we took Max, we took Bill, and we took Robert, and we took Johnny, and we decided we were going to go out. We all met with Ted, and guess what, we sat down with Ted right after Thanksgiving, and Ted said, I'm so sorry, I need this church, and I need you as my friend. And I hope you'll forgive me. What does Jesus say we got to do? I got to forgive him. Problem solved. Whew. See how long that took? Now, y'all may think, well, that's really not true. How many people in here have y'all had a grudge with for years? How long does it take to work it out? It takes a long time, don't it? So I finally work it out. And you know what I hear after December? Guess what I heard? I heard Ted's been saying bad things about me again. So when Peter says, hey, man, how many times I got to forgive somebody? Because, I mean, that took like a year to work that out. You know, forgiveness is a process, folks. Forgiveness is a process. Don't happen overnight. Peter says, how many times I got to do it? Seven times? I'm 30, how old am I? 38 now? 38, seven times? 55. Me and Ted, I'll still be dealing with Ted when I'm 45 at this rate. I'm thinking seven times, and Jesus says, oh, no. What does Jesus say? Yeah, it depends on which translation, right? I'm going with the 77 one because it's better. Jesus either says 77 or 7 times 70. But even if I go with the 77 times, I got to forgive. I got to go through that process 77 times. I'll be forgiving Ted for the rest of my life. And Jesus says, bingo. Y'all see it now? Forgiveness is a process. And Jesus intends for you to forgive so that you can become a forgiving person. What happens if you don't forgive? I don't think Jesus is upset with you because you chose not to forgive. I think Jesus is upset with you because when you choose not to forgive, you become a rotten human being. If y'all are still in Matthew, would you just look, take a look back at that story one more time? Did y'all notice something? Look at verse 28. Jesus doesn't hesitate to use a lot of words to describe this dude. Verse 28. Look at his behavior. The servant went out. He found, so he had to go look for him. He found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him, he choked him, and he demanded from him, "You pay back what you owe me." And when the servant said, "Be patient with me," the man refused, and he had him thrown in jail. He refused, he demanded, he found, he choked, he beat, he threw. You know, this whole time I thought in this story, that the man had his forgiveness revoked because he's refused to forgive somebody else. I was wrong. In this story, the man has his forgiveness revoked because he's a sorry excuse for a human being. That's why. Y'all have heard Jesus loves the sinner, hates the sin. Guess what? It's about the sinner, not the sin. It's not what you do that upsets Jesus. It's who you become when you do it. And the only way to become better is to start forgiving. It's the only way. Church, I guess here's the best way to do this. Because it's hard. There's a really fine line here. Do I got to forgive to be forgiven? Or, I mean, what if I don't? So let's think about it like this. God is the giver of the breath of life. Okay? You can just imagine inhaling, all right? So you breathe in all God's goodness and his blessings and his forgiveness and his mercy, and your chest fills up and you're full. And you breathe it in again, your chest gets even fuller, and you've got all this mercy and grace and forgiveness. And you breathe in some more, and all of a sudden you're thinking, "I can't breathe." You got to exhale. God can only put into you what you put out. And if you're here this morning and you feel like you can't breathe, you feel like God's just not doing what he used to do, are you getting out coached? Or are you not playing? Which one is it? I'm not sure you're getting out coached. I think we just stopped playing. This morning the invitation is for two people. Those of you who are here who keep looking back at your scoreboard, quit it. God's already forgiven that. You need to forgive yourself. God has forgiven that. Stop looking at your scoreboard. And the invitation is also for those of you who keep looking at the scoreboard of others. Stop looking at it. Forgive them and move on. Two kinds of people. Those who are looking at their own scoreboard and those who are looking at the scoreboard of others. Guess what? It's the same scoreboard. It's the same scoreboard. God judges both equally. This morning, I guess I was going to ask, what's your score? But I guess I'll just ask it more bluntly. Is there somebody in your life you have not forgiven? Is there somebody in your life you have not forgiven? Is there somebody in your life that you just cannot let that go? I would ask for you to respond this morning to ask for God's forgiveness. Unfortunately, that would be a colossal waste of time. Before you ask for God's forgiveness, ask yourself, who in my life needs to be forgiven? Let's think about who that person is as we stand and sing.